T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Central in the playoffs will be the division winner.
And that is not a bold statement. It is hard. It's legitimately hard to envision a path for anybody else outside of those six teams. So we get into this scenario then. Okay, 500. The Twins are going to be better than 500, I think. Is 500 good enough to even win the division? That's a bit of a stretch.
Probably
for me.
Not. 81,
I don't think 81 games is going to be.
I'm kind of targeting
Twins,
85. Like, I think
the
maybe
Twins,
the division winner is
good,
an 85.
Right.
Winner.
The Twins are pretty good. The Indians are, excuse me, the Guardians are always good. And then you've got the others. Detroit will certainly be better than they have been. The White Sox probably are not quite there yet. But Detroit's got a lot of good young players, too. So it's not a cakewalk. So then again, you have to look at it. If the Royals improve by 20 games this year, Tommy, they're still only to 76 wins.
Yeah.
That's not going to be good enough.
Right.
So I'm trying to come up with reasonable expectations. Vegas has them at 73. I think you start there. 74 wins? Absolutely. That almost needs to be an expectation. Can you get to 500? That would be a fantastic season. Is that good enough to make the playoffs? Probably not. So even in an expanded playoff right now with the American League, as top-heavy as it is, probably not. So I do want to try to, you know, but you don't have to. It's not like anything they did this offseason. I mean, I don't think they did any one-year deals. I don't know about, like, Will Smith, the 90-year-old closer. But all the other ones, you know, there's time to grow this thing the right way. The other thing that I think to keep in mind this year, let's say they get around the All-Star break and they're within 4 or 5 games. You just saw an ownership group be insanely aggressive. Would they be aggressive at the deadline? Can they be aggressive at the deadline? Their farm system's hot garbage right now. Like, they don't have anybody anymore down there, really. So probably not. So you're looking at, this is probably this will be the crew that takes them wherever they go.
The other reason why I don't
good enough,
even if they're battling for a playoff spot or they're in contention, another reason why I don't think they're going to pull the trigger on any kind of trades or midseason deals, obviously you mentioned the farm system, but also I think the only time the Royals have really ever been willing to be buyers at the trade deadline is when, like, it's a World Series or bust team. Like, I think about the Johnny Cueto acquisition, the Ben Zobrist acquisition. Like, that was when the Royals were primed in position to go and compete for a championship. And even though we have increased expectations this season for Kansas City, I'm not sure anybody is, you know, penciling in the Royals as being a team that could contend for a World Series this season.
So Will Smith, they signed to a one-year deal. Yeah, that's it. So then Waka, Lugo were both on multi-year deals. So they have, you've got a couple of years. The only players, none of the significant players, it's not going to matter. The bullpen guys maybe, but none of the significant players that they brought in. The other thing to consider, though, that they'll have to wrestle with this year, they'll have very attractive, let's say they're 10 games out. And they're, you know, and they're still competitive and doing the right thing. How willing would they be to then, if, you know, Waka has a resurgence or Lugo continues this thing? You know, they've had tradable assets, but if they have tradable starting pitching, they'll have some tough decisions to make that way too. And I don't, you know, it's way too early to start thinking about that kind of stuff. But there are a lot of possibilities this season that all can still happen if they're better. really, as long as you're getting significantly better, it will be a win this year. What is that ceiling? I think that's probably what we're struggling with a little bit. But even if it's just getting better, but then following the same formula of trading some of those, you know, pitchers for to try to replenish the farm system. Now that you know you have Bobby Witt Jr. locked up, that's not the worst thing in the world either. But they also are trying to put butts in a new ballpark. So possibilities are endless this year. Bottom line, we're really excited about Royals baseball. And that's two guys who from the heart root for a couple other teams. So we'll talk about that the rest of Major League Baseball. We'll get into, of course, the Sweet 16. We'll give you some bets that we like today as well on the program. Glad to have you here. The KFH hotline is open. 869-1240. We'll have Tim Fitzgerald to talk a little bit about K-State, spring football, Jerome Tang, not a taker or maybe even a candidate on any of these big jobs recently, which is an interesting development. But we'll get into all of it as we make our way through. We mentioned Royals baseball, by the way. Major League Baseball getting underway. It's all season long right here on KFH. Today at 3 o'clock, you can tune in over the air or find it on the Odyssey app. Just search KFH. Albrocht and Caster coming right back. Well, the best days of the year, opening day, Major League Baseball. We'll get into March Madness talk as we make our way through here as well. Let's continue on the baseball theme. A lot of talk there with Kansas City Royals. Cannot wait for all of it today. We've had some cancellations, some postponements, I should say. That'll be all right. We're looking at some win totals this year. The Dodgers obviously sit at the top of the odds to win the World Series, win the most games. Right behind them are the Braves. Then the Astros, Yankees, Orioles, Phillies, Rangers. Twins are actually projected way up there, Tommy, at 87. So the Royals would have a lot of work to do. And then the Mariners at 87, Blue Jays at 86. Of all of those teams, do you see anything appetizing? I certainly wouldn't waste my time with the Dodgers. Your Braves, probably not, you know, juicy enough for me. I wouldn't take either of those overs. I got to tell you, this isn't even a homer thing. Rangers at 88.5 seems low to me. They have some starting pitching to replace, but their lineup is stupid good. They've got two rookies that are going to vie for Rookie of the Year probably to add to what they essentially had last year. And I think they can get there. I think that's an opportunity, 88 games there for them. Their World Series odds, which is, you might remember from listening to this show, as I talked about it almost every day for a month, is significantly lower than the 50-1 I got it at last year, but 14-1 is not bad as we look at the contenders. Orioles 89, but they got a lot of talent. That's a pretty big ask, I think. I think of all of these that I'm looking at, I honestly, Tommy, and it's not a homer thing. I think the Rangers at 88 and 14-1 might be the best bet of
Come
that group.
On.
Everybody,
you're a homer.
What do you think's better than I? Of course I am. But what's of the teams that have a real chance?
Yeah,
like what? You're not touching the Braves at a projected 101 wins.
I love the Atlanta Braves. I'm not betting anything regarding the Braves this year, unless it's like maybe individual, like Spencer Strider, strikeout leader, things like that. But like their over win total
to win the World Series,
or winning the World Series, like they are favored everywhere. Like every article I read, they are the favorites to win the whole thing. And I'm like, I'm not touching that. Like it's not, I would rather another team be the favorite because then they've got to live up to those expectations. So I'm not touching Atlanta on anything as much as I love them. I know that 89 win total is a big ask for the Orioles, but gosh, they looked good last season.
They did.
You know, and it was, I don't think that was a fluke. I think that was young talent coming together.
And they added Corbin Burns.
And they had Corbin Burns. And then you take another, conceivably, you would think they take another step forward this season, and these rookies and these young players have another year under their belt. And I remember us talking about it during the postseason that the biggest knock on the Orioles was that that team had never been to the postseason before. Those players had never experienced postseason baseball. They've got that under their belts now. Yeah, they got a taste of it. I'm sure they want to get back. I kind of like that one.
I'm looking, where are the Diamondbacks? 83. Because they also, with a lot of young talent, that's not bad. The problem with, you know, the problem when you look at some of these, and this is maybe an advantage for the Braves and why it's so high, is their division, I don't think, even though the Phillies will be good, is quite as deep. Like, when you look at the AL West and you consider, if you're in my train of thought, that the Astros, Rangers, and Mariners are going to be an absolute just ridiculous fun race to watch, that's what's going to make it hard for any of those teams. So, like, if I'm looking at it, the Astros with the highest win total, just by, you know, just by the fact that I think all three of those teams are equally good, that'd be the one I'd avoid the most, would be the Astros. You know, the Mariners are right there with the Rangers. They're at 87. The Rangers are at 88. That's why I like that there. The problem, I think, for the Orioles is the same problem any of those face. Yankees, Blue Jays, Rays, all so they actually have four of those teams. That's what might make it difficult. That's what makes it hard to get there. I mean, the Dodgers are always ridiculous. The Giants are relatively interesting now. I mean, the Reds are an up-and-coming team. I mentioned the you know what the Tigers' win total is, Tommy? I said they had a lot of good young players. They're at 80.5. Vegas is basically saying they'll be a 500 team. That's interesting, too. And I wouldn't bet that either because they really do have a lot of good young players. You know, I think the Angels, honestly, at 72.5, Ron Washington, and that's another, I just love Ron Washington so much. But everything seems about right. I don't disagree with Vegas really on any of that. I would never, I think the Dodgers and the Braves aren't worth the, you never make a futures bet with bad odds like that.
Nope.
But as you look at the World Series odds, you go down the list. I mean, look, Rangers at 14-1, Orioles are also at 14-1. The Phillies 15, the Blue Jays 18, the Mariners 20. You go down and can we find that team like the Rangers last year that just has absurd odds? I mean, I guess the Tigers at 70-1, maybe.
One team that I would at least keep my eyes on, and I'm not convinced that I want to take a swing at it yet, but the Chicago Cubs, not that they added a lot of talent because they really didn't, but they added Craig Counsell. And I think that part of the thought process was bringing in a manager the caliber of Craig Counsell, who did great things during his time in Milwaukee, you know, maybe that's enough to get the current team to gel and, you know, to be able to make a run to the playoffs. And, you know, if the AL Central is the weakest division in Major League Baseball, the NL Central is probably going to be slightly better, probably not a whole lot better than the AL Central
is. Not a whole lot.
You know, the Cardinals underachieved last year. I don't think that there's a ton of high hopes that they're going to be, you know, this dominant team. But of course, you can, you know, it's hard to bet against St. Louis because it seems like they're always there. Milwaukee, you would think, takes a step back because they lost Counsell, you know, and Cincinnati.
And Corbin Burns.
You know, Cincinnati had a really good run last year with a lot of young players, but they weren't able to put it all together like the Diamondbacks were or the Orioles were a year ago. And then the Pirates are the Pirates. So I would look at maybe the Cubs as being a team that could be one of those dark horses.
Cincinnati has a lot of early injuries. I'd wait for them to fall down a little bit, see if those odds boost up. I do like the young talent Cincinnati has. The other one, I mean, the Rays are at 30-1 right now. When are we going to stop betting against the Rays, right? And I know those always haven't ended up in World Series, but really, like for me, when I'm thinking about MLB futures odds, I'm trying to identify like who could get there and then take a puncher's chance and give me the best odds. Rangers and the Diamondbacks are two great examples of that last year. Now, they ended up getting there. But if you can get your team in with just a puncher's chance and some of those long odds, now we're cooking. I don't know. I don't ever like taking futures odds, though, that aren't like up in that stratosphere where I was able to get the Rangers last year. Like, I need 30 plus, or it's not worth my time. I don't have that kind of patience to make those kinds of bets. We look up and down today. You know, if you bounce around all your betting sites, there's all kinds of bonuses out there. I did one with the Royals, Tommy. This was just kind of a fun one. One of the sites had a same game parlay in baseball, which is fun, but it's hard to do. I think I did a Bobby Witt Jr. to hit a home run, Bobby Witt Jr. to steal a base, and the Royals to win outright. So like a Bobby Witt Jr. pretty much pick up where you left off last season, same game parlay with a little booster. And I think I got, like, I don't know, 9-1 on that. It's something fun. There's lots of that stuff out there today. Baseball betting is really fascinating and interesting and kind of difficult to do, but it is a lot of fun. I enjoy betting like $1 or $2 on silly little things like that throughout the season.
You know, I think a couple of Royals player prop future bets that I know are going to get a lot of action. First off, Bobby Witt Jr., I think there is a play where you could maybe look at him for AL MVP. I think that it's going to be something that, you know, is
now
probably...
Now that Shohei's gone.
I think it'll be still a little bit of a dark horse because there still is a substantial amount of talent. Now you've got Juan Soto with the Yankees and all of that. You know, but I do think that there is that possibility where you could get... I'm guessing you can get pretty good value on Bobby Witt Jr. As the AL MVP. And then the other thing that's kind of sneaky that not a lot of people are talking about, but I think could be possible. I think it could be in the realm of possibility. Vinny Pascantino, American League Comeback Player of the Year. So just keep that one in mind as well, because he's coming off of that season-ending injury, and I think that there's the chance that he can take that major step forward and be a pretty key contributor for this Royals team.
Yeah, there's no question there. I like it. By the way, Bobby Witt Jr. 16-1.
I like
on that. That would
I like those odds.
Well, I like those odds. The only thing that gives me pause is if the Royals aren't in contention, you're probably not going to get an MVP. It's maybe a little less than in other sports, but you probably do still need to be in the mix. So the guys, let me just list the players that are ahead of him just in the odds. Aaron Judge, Juan Soto. Makes a lot of sense, right? Julio Rodriguez of the Mariners. I like Bobby Witt Jr. at 16-1 more than Julio Rodriguez at 10-1 for sure. And I love Julio Rodriguez. Have both of those guys on a fantasy baseball team. Corey Seager at 10-1. I'd like to see that a little higher, probably. Yordan Alvarez at 11-1. Both of those are probably safer than Bobby Witt Jr., but offer you a little less. Adley Rutschman at 16-1 also. I wouldn't touch that. I'm not betting a catcher to win a hitter's award. But, you know, and Gunnar Henderson's right there with him. So, yeah, probably Vladimir Jr., Vladdy, at 18-1 might be even a little bit better. I don't know. He's as good as any of them. I don't love any of them, but I like him just as much as any of the others, probably, I think, right? Like, there's no – do Judge and Soto sort of poach each other? Is this the final formula that works for the Yankees? I doubt it. But, you know,
they're always gonna
it's all right.
They're always going to open up the checkbook and try to find something that will work for them.
Those are pretty two safe bets with those two guys. I still don't know if I like them more than some of those other AL East teams in totality. I don't think that I do. But it's going to be fun. And Bobby Witt Jr. is square in the middle of all of it. So we talked about the Royals starting slow. Could you imagine the season Bobby Witt Jr. would have had last year if he wasn't, you know, analytically one of the unluckiest players in baseball? Remember, this seems like an eternity ago, Tommy, but do you remember having to talk fans off the ledge of trading Bobby Witt Jr.? Like, guys, hang on. Like, if we watch him play with our eyes and don't just look at box scores, he looked fine, right? He's hitting the ball hard. He's doing all these things. Body language was good. He was unlucky last year. What if he's not unlucky this year? You know, what if those law of averages work themselves out a little earlier? What's on the table for him? I think you start with 30-30, right? 30 home runs, 30 steals, and go from there a little bit. Where can his average ultimately get up to? It's not out of the realm of possibility for him to be a top MVP guy, but it's going to be dependent on the Royals having some success this year. What do you think of Salvador Perez this year as we're talking about players? How much does Salvi have left in the tank if they can finally just, you know, let him hit? And he's going to catch. He always does. He wants to. I'm glad he does. That's cool. I wonder how much offense he has left in the tank. And I always wonder with him if there is the possibility of some Nelson Cruz or David Ortiz ride into the sunset as a DH. Like, if he could just focus there. He's one of the more underrated power hitters to me that we have in baseball. I'm very curious to see how long he can stretch this thing out and what he does this year.
You know, I think that he I have this thought with Perez that people think that he's a lot older than what he actually is because he's been around for so long. He's 33. We're not talking about Salvador Perez at 40 or 42. You know, has he lost a step? Sure. You know, you play a demanding physical position like catcher. Yeah, you're going to probably lose a step. And I know that they've, you know, moved him more to DH and he's played some first base and things like that to extend his career. I think that's, you know, that's important. That's for sure important for longevity. Is he the kind of player now at 33 that will go out there and mash 45 home runs in a season? Probably not. I don't think that's really the ceiling anymore, but he might. I think he's still going to be a power threat. There's no doubt about that. And just the intangibles that he brings to this organization. I've got no concerns about his productivity. I've got no concerns about, you know, his longevity. I think that especially considering that the Royals have taken steps to try to keep him from, you know, getting injured and not playing catcher every day and all of that, I think that's a really important thing.
I don't know who's going to back him up. Royals World Series odds, by the way, about 150-1. You want to take a real flyer. Salvador Perez is younger than we think he is. He's had 23 home runs each of the last 2 years and right around 80 RBIs. RBI. He's hitting just a little over 250. I think there's room for improvement there. He's played hurt a lot. I think about this all the time. Like, just imagine Nelson Cruz, David Ortiz. I mean, is he as good a power hitter as Big Poppy? Probably not. Can he be as good a hitter as Nelson Cruz was? I think so. And if he does that, there is a real world where he can go 4 or 5 more years, Tommy, of giving you 25 home runs. I think he's a Hall of Famer anyway, but I think he can really still help the Royals for a long time. I mean, what are they going to be able to do at DH, right? Think about their bankroll for a second. You've got Salvador Perez isn't going anywhere. Salvador Perez played for you forever. Can't you just kind of pencil him in? See how much he can give you at catcher, and then just pencil him in at DH for the rest of the way. That's what some of these other guys have done, and they played forever.
Well, part of the reason that they had him playing first base last year, Vinny Pascantino was out, you know, so they needed to have somebody fill in there.
Correct. With Pascantino, I envision healthy him and doing back, that less.
You know, I don't think that that's really going to be much of the play, but
just
I'm
DH him.
Absolutely okay with having him play DH.
And the other thing is, too, like, if you did that, how much would that add to his offense? If that's all, I would imagine that he has no interest in doing that right now, and that's fine, because you still want him to catch. I mean, he's fine. But at some point, those knees will go a little bit, and it's like, man, why don't you just come hit?
Yeah.
I think he's that good a hitter to be able to do that. I mean, I think he's criminally underrated as a hitter. Now, what I don't know and what becomes a part of that is that as a catcher or is that just as a baseball player? That's what we would have to find out a little bit. But if he's giving me 25 home runs and 80 RBI a year with the payroll restrictions the Royals will have to deal with, I'm going to take that 10 days out of 10 for sure. Because that's production there, and that's what they need. I think it's possible. I think we could see another 100 home runs out of Salvador Perez. Hopefully. One of my favorite players of all time. Maybe right even behind, like, Adrian Beltre, Salvador Perez. That might be my list. I love watching him play baseball, and I hope he does it for a long time. All right, we'll come back. We'll begin to discuss this Sweet 16 tonight. Happy opening day, everybody. Should be one of those sports national holidays. Hope your team's playing. Hope for the Royals fans out there that things go swimmingly this year. You'll hear them right here at 3 o'clock today on KFH. We'll be back more Sports Daily right after this. All right, welcome back here on Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you, Jacob Albrock. Tommy Caster, Chad Chambers producing in the studio. Tim Fitzgerald coming up second hour. Talk a little K-State, our K-State insider. Chad, let's give away some HTO here. We'll do a free iced tea, which you can use at the Derby location or at either Wichita location, East or West Wichita. Try the new Strawberry Passion, limited time flavor, is here for the spring and summer. People are loving it. We'll also give you a free Brew House coffee. Now, did you try it, Chad?
Yeah, I've tried that one before. It's excellent.
It's one of the favorites, and it's back for the first time. It's only the second time it's ever been out there, so check that out. And then free Brewhouse coffee offering for you as well. That's featuring now Free Rain Coffee, So you can get those 869-1240 to get your chance to win there. Tommy, it's Sweet 16. We're glad to have basketball back, certainly. Four games tonight. There are some bets I love, and we'll get into that at the top of the next hour. There are some bets I really like tonight. But we're looking at this. What do we need to happen tonight, right? Like, for our sports fandom to be happy, what do we need? Well, I would say you just need UConn and North Carolina to lose, and then we can all be happy, right? That's a fair sentiment, isn't it? Is there anybody else people should actively root against here? I mean, it's really those two teams. I think I'm fine no matter what else happened. Now, my bracket, there are some major implications.
I'm going to pose – I mean, here's the thing. I get where you're coming from about UConn and North Carolina, because then you've got wild and craziness and all the one seeds, you know, outside of Houston are gone at that point. And
none of the one seeds are gone. You'd still have Purdue.
That's true. Purdue's still in there also. But you're getting the teams that have been there before out of the way. I understand that. But at the same time, though, there have been really epic national championship matchups with the best teams in the country. And I know March sure. Madness, I know Cinderellas, there aren't really any Cinderellas left in the field. But you always want the teams that haven't been there before to get the chance. But, man, remember a couple of years ago, Kansas and North Carolina? That was pretty epic. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember a North Carolina-Villanova championship game that was probably one of the best of all time. You know, and those were probably the two best teams or two of the best teams in the country when they faced off against each other. You know, so, like, I think it's okay, even if you've got a team like North Carolina or UConn, to make their way through. And another point, it'd be really cool to see UConn go back-to-back because that's extremely hard to do.
It's hard to do. It's impressive. I don't think it's cool. I mean, I will give UConn this. Hurley has done a fantastic job to turn himself into a villain. Like, he has transformed them into a great villain, and I appreciate that greatly, but that's what he's done. So they're a villain. Live it. Now I want to root against you in every game. Plus, they're playing the Aztecs. Give my wife's team a chance here. I UConn is a juggernaut. Their next game is the one I think we all circle, whether it's Illinois or Iowa State, which is my favorite of all the Sweet 16 games. That will be the latest game tonight. I will be staying up late tonight to watch that one after the Rangers hopefully open things up. I'll be bouncing around a lot. I've got to be at a birthday party. This is a night where I need lots of TVs too. But it is going to be interesting for UConn's sake. I don't know that there's another team in the tournament. UConn feels like they could blow everybody out every night, right? They feel like they could beat everybody by 10 every single night. That's what I don't like. They feel like such a heavy favorite. That's why I want to see them lose. Every game they play, I don't care if it's against Houston, is going to feel like UConn's a heavy favorite in that game. So I'm going to root against them every single time. North Carolina, I just don't really like North Carolina. It's fine. That's just being a hater, right? Same reason I don't want to see Duke win. Same reason I don't want to see Kentucky win, whatever. Before I moved here, felt that way about Kansas. Now I love Kansas, of course, and Kansas State and Wichita State and everything else, but I think we're in for some good ones. UConn's game, again, certainly has the biggest opportunity to be a blowout. I do think Arizona, Clemson's hard to figure. Arizona's really good. Clemson's got that chip on their shoulder from after last year. I don't know what to do with them. We'll talk about our bets. We'll tell you what we're picking tonight, what we really like. We'll pick each game, and then we'll tell you which ones we would actually lay money on. We'll do that next. Tim Fitzgerald, our K-State insider, coming up in the second hour. I want to talk about Jerome Tang and all these openings. Last year, everyone was worried Tang would go to Louisville. Well, Louisville came open, and I don't even know that Jerome Tang was a candidate. Maybe I missed it. We'll talk to Fitz about that. Congratulations to Bryce for winning our HTO giveaway. We'll come back. Hour number two of Sports Daily coming up.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. This is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, hour number two. Happy opening day, everybody. For all those who celebrate, you can celebrate with us a little later this afternoon. Royals baseball on KFH. Stuck at the office? Just put in a earbud and listen with us to the Royals, trying to get things started and get off to a quicker start. We spent a lot of time on baseball, really all our time in the first hour, talking about that. We'll have Tim Fitzgerald, our K-State insider, coming up a little later in this hour. Let's talk about the Sweet 16, Tommy. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Castor here. By the way, the KFH hotline's open for you during this segment, 869-1240. Sweet 16 looking good. All the matchups look pretty good. I believe San Diego State is the biggest underdog of the round of 16 by far. 11.5-point dogs tonight. So what we have tonight, we have Clemson and Arizona. Arizona, 7-point favorite. You have San Diego State trying to take down UConn. They're getting 11.5 points to help them do that. North Carolina is a 5-point favorite over Alabama, and Iowa State's a 1.5-point favorite over Illinois. Let's start with the first one, Tommy. Clemson, Arizona. Clemson's tricky to me. Clemson is chip on the shoulder team. They're dangerous in a different way, I think, than NC State is dangerous. Arizona, I still have a bad taste in my mouth after picking Arizona as my champion last year. But I do like, from a betting perspective, Arizona -7 tonight. That's what I'm actually betting. I am going to include that. I think I even had it at 7.5, unfortunately. But I like Arizona in this one. You know, I think some of that shine after some days off perhaps could wear off of Clemson a little bit, but we'll see. But I'm taking the Wildcats.
I really, really, really like Arizona. They're my national champion pick. I picked them at the very beginning of the tournament. And I think that, you know, Tommy Lloyd has done a phenomenal job with that program, number one. And number two, I don't think that they, all season long, have really gotten the attention that they deserve. And I think that a lot of that has to do with, you always hear about Arizona being a team that is, you know, perennially atop their conference. Of course, they're moving to the Big 12 next year, but winning their conference, high seeds for the most part in the NCAA tournament, and a lot of early round exits. Like I remember in the Sean Miller era at Arizona, it seemed like that was happening a lot. And so I'm not sure that there really is the level of attention that Arizona gets compared to like a UConn or North Carolina or a Houston or a Purdue that, you know, they've gotten those one seeds throughout the entire year. Caleb Love, don't forget, transferred out of North Carolina to go to Arizona, and he's been a difference maker for the Wildcats team. The Clemson story has been a nice one throughout the tournament, but I am in full agreement with you. I'm taking the Wildcats, and I like them to cover.
They are blue blood. I mean, they're as blue as any blood, honestly. Arizona's been a great program for a long time, so I like them there. That one I'm actually betting. I'm not betting any piece of San Diego State UConn. It's hard to give up that many points. UConn is the team I would do it to if there were any. I don't like the number, though. I don't like the over-under at 136. I mean, I would say take the over, but these are two teams that have no problem grinding it out historically. So, you know, are each of them getting to 65, 66? I mean, you've got an implied score there. What would that be of like 70 to 71 to 50? What would that be? 71 to 57? No, that'd be 14.5. It'd be even different than that. So you're taking UConn to get, this is always hard for me to do, 73 to 62, 74 to 63, that kind of score. I don't know, man. I don't like anything betting this game. Just to be perfectly honest, if I had to, I suppose I would take UConn to cover. But 11.5 points. That's got backdoor cover all over it. I don't like any part of this one.
Yeah, I'm probably going to stay away from that one too. That's not something that I really feel like. Let's just be real. I think that there are much better bets tonight. So that's probably, I'm with you. That's probably not what I'm going to touch.
So then we go to Alabama and North Carolina. And by the way, just from a watching perspective, I'm in on that game because I think every game UConn plays, you'll want them on upset alert, and you've got high attention to those. 33-3 this year. Goodness gracious with UConn. Alabama, North Carolina. I don't really love the number in this one, but I love the under in this one. 174 in a college basketball game, Tommy. You're talking, I mean, you're talking 80, 87. You're talking North Carolina getting up close to 90, which they've done. Don't get me wrong. Like, Alabama games have gotten that high. North Carolina games have not gotten that high. And Alabama's gotten that high, but they also haven't gotten that high. They're about 50-50 on getting over that number. I know this is going to be run and gun crazy, but if there's any portion of this game where teams go cold a little bit, that's a hard number to achieve. I'm taking that under as one of the bets I'm actually making today as well. So I'll take under 174 because that is a high implied total.
I kind of like Alabama in this game. I know that North Carolina is very, very dangerous. And Alabama has flirted with disaster a couple of different times, not only in the tournament, but just throughout the course of their season. They've not really been one of the more elite teams this year compared to, I remember Alabama, I think maybe a year ago or 2 years ago. Like, they were high flying, they were high scoring, you know, explosive, all of that. And they still have some of that identity, but it's not quite at the same level. That being said, though, and I think Nate Oates is a great coach, and I think that they do have that ability in a situation like a tournament, backs against the wall, win or go home type game, where if they're hitting their shots at the level that I think that they can, then they could absolutely give North Carolina a game. So I kind of like them to cover at least. I mean, we're getting, I'd be getting 4.5 points. So I like that. I'm not sure I like it totally on the money line necessarily. I'm sure the odds are pretty juicy there on the money line, but I'm at least going to take Alabama to cover.
Tommy, the last time, and I, if I'm betting one side of it, I think I agree. But back, I agree. I would take the points. I like Alabama, and I want to root against North Carolina. They haven't gotten over once. North Carolina hasn't gotten that high in a game since February 17th. And before that, they got there right at that number with Duke on February 3rd. And I think that's it. Like, I don't think, okay, back to November 29th. Like, they do not get that high typically. Now, on the flip side, Alabama loves to get that high, right? Alabama is that high a lot. I think they've been that high in all of their turn. They didn't get that high against Grand Canyon, but they did against Florida. They did against Charleston. They did in the SEC finale against they get there a lot. We'll put it that way. More often than they don't. But North Carolina doesn't, man. And I got to think, like, if you're North Carolina and you're going into that game plan and you see the way Alabama likes to play, what are you going to do at that point? Right? You're going to try and not let that happen. So that's why I like it there. If I took a side of it, though, I think I'm with you. I think I would take the points. All right, so then we have one more this evening, which is my favorite of all these Sweet 16 games. I have struggled with this since the moment the bracket came out because either one of these two teams was going to be my national champion. I was hoping for this to be my national championship matchup. I was hoping, you know, all of these things, but nope, it's a Sweet 16 matchup. Illinois-Iowa State. Iowa State's -1.5. The over-under's 146.5. Illinois is my champion. I have to take them on the money line here and pretty much just get like even money, I think is what I got on that, plus 100. So I'm going to take Illinois there. I love both of these teams. I hate that they're playing in this round and not later in the tournament, but they are. And, you know, it's going to be tough.
From a betting perspective, I think Illinois on the money line is probably the play, although that's not what I'm rooting for, so I'm not going to make that bet. I want Iowa State to move on. I want Iowa State to win the game. You know, but knowing that it's basically a coin flip as far as the odds are concerned, I think that, you know, you're going to get obviously you're going to get better odds with Illinois on the money line. So that's probably, if you're going to take a side, the way to go to be able to get plus money on it. But I want Iowa State in the Elite Eight. I want them to move on. There are only two teams from the Big 12 that are in the Sweet 16. Yeah. I want it to be TJ Ulterberger and the Cyclones.
This is a strictly like hoping my bracket makes it through. Like that's all business.
I'm not even taking paying Iowa's, attention to my taking bracket Illinois's anymore. Nobody all pays business. Like this is the time. Like nobody pays attention to their bracket anymore. Like
I sure do. My Final Four and champion are alive.
Well,
I absolutely
my champion's
am paying
alive,
attention.
And three of my four Final Four teams are alive.
My four are alive. I have a chance to win brackets.
But at this point now, like everybody's bracket is busted. So, like,
my bracket is not busted.
I would love to know statistics on just the general population of people that fill out brackets. They monitor it very closely on the first weekend, and then they don't ever look at it again as the tournament goes on. It's probably
substantial.
That is not true. It's probably substantial.
but only because your bracket's busted. But if your bracket's not busted, you're absolutely paying attention to your bracket. You got big money out there on bracket challenges, on bracket contests, on
office pools.
How much
money are you spending on bracket challenges? I'm not sure I've ever spent
this
a
year
dime on bracket challenges.
Oh, this year I spent. Are those allowed? Like, are these certifiable?
I don't think I've ever spent money on a bracket.
I think I've spent $40, two brackets at $20 each, I think is what I spent this year. And if that's not allowed, that's pretend money, and we're you know, whatever. I don't know. None of that had to do with the radio station. We didn't do a challenge here. These are other places to do bracket challenges, but you know, I'm also very competitive, so if I'm going to win the dang thing, there are brackets I've entered that are free,
sure,
for sure, like just little. But my Final Four is alive in my national champion. There aren't a lot of years. My national champion last year was busted on the opening day of the tournament.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, I'm going to pay attention if I have a chance to win some money and win some bracket contests for sure. I like Brad Underwood too. There's a reason for me to root for Illinois also. I don't know that I've ever taken, let me think about this for a second. I don't know that I have ever in a bracket contest picked a champion that I didn't like that I wasn't going to be able to root for. So that's a dumb thing to do, but I'm pretty sure that's the case for me. I won't pick a champion that I don't want to root for. I can root for Brad Underwood in Illinois. Iowa State, Houston, San Diego State, Illinois. If one of those teams wins the championship, I'll be very, very happy as a fan because I would love to see any of those teams
win. I'd throw in teams
probably
like
would love to see Creighton win it.
Or Gonzaga. Yeah. I'm okay with throwing them in it. Just
yeah,
because
I'd be
they
fine with
gotten,
them finally
done
getting
it before.
It. Yeah.
You know, NC State's not going to make it, but, you know, that would be, I mean, they're the biggest underdog, I guess, left in the tournament, you know, and so that's kind of a fun story.
I think San Diego State is, but
I do have a bone to pick though about the games that are scheduled for tonight and tomorrow night in the Sweet 16 round. My bone to pick with it is looking at the way these games are scheduled, and I know it's this way every single year, but I hate the fact that we've got two games basically at the same time. Like, you've got two games at 6 or 6:30. You've got two games at 8 or 8:30. Like, I'd rather them be spaced out. And I know, like, the NCAA, you really, for March Madness, you get that first opening weekend of an all-day type thing. But you don't even need to make it all day, necessarily. Like, you could start the first game at 3, you know, and then go 5, and then go 7, and then go 9, you know, or whatever. Like, not exactly that, but you know what I mean. Like, you don't have to take up the entire day. But I think you could start mid-afternoon, potentially, and then you could space out each game so you're actually able to watch each game as opposed to having them on at the same time.
Well, you've got the two biggest networks playing now, too. Like, now you've shrunk it down. CBS and TBS bid the most on this deal, so they don't have any interest in what you're talking about. They'd rather have two prime windows than, you know, than one of them getting stuck with, than having to bring like True TV back into the mix or whatever. So that's a part of it. I actually think I kind of like this because you're going to get staggered endings to these games. You know, with the 30 minute, you know, you get 6:09, 6:39. You could get overtime that messes that up, but generally speaking, you'll at least get to see the ends of these games.
Yeah, I don't know. I do like
the more multiple games on at once. I think that's a part of the fun of March Madness, so I don't mind blending that in. This is the last time we're going to get it. This is the last time this happens, I think. I don't think it happens in the Elite Eight.
Right. Yeah, it won't happen starting Saturday and Sunday.
I'm good with it. I'm okay with it. I don't mind. In fact, I think I kind of like it. Would I like a... Well, not today because it would interfere with Major League Baseball. I wouldn't like it, but
general, like you've got, you know, like if you watch YouTube TV, you can do the multi-view and, you know, all, like I get that. And like, I've had multiple games on at the same time. I don't know. There's a part of me, I'm kind of like, man, it sure would be nice if it was, you know, I had the opportunity to watch each game in its entirety and just go back to back to back to back, because we're not talking about, you know, a 15-2 matchup. We're talking about the Sweet 16 here, you know, and I'd like to be able to watch these 16 teams in its entirety all at once. But I understand that, you know, we won't actually get that until the top 8.
Sure would be nice if your wife loved you enough to let you hang two TVs in your basement. That's what would be really nice. Then you wouldn't have
this
problem.
Well, you had that in your basement, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's
correct.
I won't. That's a dig at me. And you know what? I did show my wife when you did that. I showed my wife the photo that you took, and I'm like, "Hey, look what Jacob did." And it was not just a no; it was a hell no. And it was a very quick shutdown.
That's how I did it. I was like, I said, "Honey, like I have to be able to sometimes watch more than one game. Like it's my job." And I think eventually it was just a concession of like, all right, fine, do whatever you want. You know, it wasn't like I don't know that she bought that line. It's moderately true. But mostly it's that I wanted to watch Red Zone and the Chiefs at the same time.
You know,
that really was for work though.
I have thrown out, you know, things about, hey, honey, it's for work. It's for my job. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, the response is, I don't care. And I'm okay. Fair, like, thanks. Thanks for being honest about that. So, you know, it is what it is.
Why can't we just do what we want? Give me like one room where I can do whatever I want. Like whatever I want. They always say that, but that's never true. Like, I don't know about that. I have a TV in the office down here where I sit now. That one was a bold move by me because it was kind of like a no ask, just do.
You just did it.
Situation. Just did it. It's like, do you really need another one? I'm like, yeah, I do, kind of. We're sitting here on the radio. I have to be able to glance up. If like a breaking news item falls across our lap, like I'm going to see it there, most likely.
Yeah. My wife is actually a fairly tuned-in sports fan for the most part, but she can't handle all of it. So here's a good example of that. Typically in years past, she's kind of locked into March Madness, and she's a KU fan. She's a KU grad. You know, so when Kansas is doing well, you know, she's pretty locked into it, filling out brackets. You know, in years past, I'll come home from work on the opening days, and she'll have the games on at home or, you know, whatever. We'll watch them in the evenings. She's not watched, I don't think, any March Madness this year. And I finally asked her why.
Mine hasn't either.
And she was like, well, here's the thing. I've been really into the Chiefs. I've watched a lot of football. I've watched a lot of Chiefs games. And I'm like, okay, like that's great. But you do know the football season's over. And now you can watch March Madness. She's like, I can only do one. I can only do one at a time. So she sacrificed March Madness for the sake of watching the Chiefs. You know, it is what it is. And I'll take it, though, because if she's watching football, then that means I can watch football. And it's never a big deal.
My wife has always been a bigger football fan. She has enjoyed trying to catch some of the Aztecs here in their runs. There was a time where we didn't miss a Chargers game. Like that was her big fandom, were the Chargers. Then we moved, then we started having kids, and then it's just like she's prioritized and it has not even remotely been high on her priority list. And then the Chargers left San Diego, of course, and I think a lot of her fandom died when that happened of the Chargers. I think she still roots for them. She hasn't watched much March Madness. It's not that she doesn't like it, though. Like, she doesn't mind when it's on and paying attention. Like, I was down here working, and it was the Houston game. It was the end of the Houston and that overtime game the last time they played against Texas A&M. And she stopped and had to watch the end of it. She couldn't, like, she saw that it was happening and was like, okay, well, now I have to see how this ends and how this happens. So it's still there, but yeah, no, she didn't fill out a bracket this year. She won the bracket challenge last year and didn't fill out
a
bracket this
year. My wife did not fill out a bracket either.
My wife is the luckiest person in the world, and she does not use it for good nearly often enough. She wins bracket challenges. She does all this stuff. I made her go buy a lottery ticket. Not yesterday, but the day before. I was like, go get one of each. I don't want to stop it. I'm like, just
go
do it. What happens? Powerball. Hits three numbers, wins $10. Like, I'm not kidding. She can enter contests. She wins all the time. But she doesn't use it for good nearly often enough. And maybe it would run out if she tried. But, man, like, if we're in because she doesn't really gamble. She didn't want to lose any money. I'm like, well, lose my money. But I need you at the table.
But your money is
I need
her
you
money.
To just...
Her money is her money. Your money is her money. That's kind of the way
Correct.
It works. One of the biggest fights that my wife and I maybe have ever had in our marriage all had to do with an NFL survivor pool. And it was because she was in it, and she, I think it might have been like you could have five entries, And I had four of them. And I'm like, I'll let you have the fifth one. Like, you can pick a team each week. And very quickly, like out of maybe like in the first 3 weeks, all my picks were gone. And she had hers left. And she went all the way to the end. And we're talking like a couple $1,000 payout
Winner,
take all type thing. And it was her and one other person. And it was to like week 16 or week 17.
Jeez.
And I remember her asking me who she should take. I told her, and it was wrong. And she lost.
You can't answer that question.
And she was so angry at me. And like that. Yeah. And so at that point, I'm like, don't ever ask me again. I will not give you my answer. I will not give you my opinion. And in fact, I'm pretty sure what happened after that was I paid for my entries and she paid for hers. And we never talked about it again. She picked the team she wanted. I picked mine. And it was all good. But we lost out on $2,000.
I hate, you know, we talk about betting and we do that stuff. It makes me so nervous when people have big money and they're like, what should I do? And I'm like, man, you're there. Yep. You got there. You do you. Like, because if I'm wrong, that sucks. Like, I'll give you what I think. But there has to be a big disclaimer that says, man, that's just like, do your thing.
Hey, just
doing
follow
that with my wife. Oh, she would kill me. She would murder me.
All you have to do is follow the Reese Davis philosophy of just calling it a risk-free investment, and then you're fine. Did you hear about
That's true. No.
So there was a betting segment on ESPN last week, and Reese Davis was interviewing a betting expert, and she was given her expert advice, and he called it a risk-free investment, and he just got blown up on social media. Like, people are like, irresponsible. Why would he say that? It's not. It's betting. But he had to issue an apology, all of that, because he called it a risk-free investment.
If you have a problem in that space, Reese Davis saying that will have no impact in a negative way on your problem. It's okay to make jokes. It's okay to make jokes. We make those kinds of jokes.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
All the time. Goodness gracious. Whatever. 869-1240. We're going to come back. Tim Fitzgerald, our K-State insider, is going to join the program. I'm curious about Jerome Tang. I don't think I saw his name on any of the lists for these big jobs that are now passed. We'll get Fitz's take on it. Maybe he has. What does that mean for his future in Manhattan? We'll talk about it next on Sports Daily. All right, we welcome in our buddy Tim Fitzgerald here to Sports Daily. GoPowerCat.com, at Life of Fitz on X. All the good stuff there. Fitz, it's been a while since I've talked to you. How you been, man?
Where you been? Witness protection?
No, I've been on, I went to Hawaii for 10-year anniversary with the wife, so that was time number one. Really, it's been three times. That may have covered two times. And then I went on a little weekend bender with, like a guy's trip last weekend. Oh. So,
hey, Fitz, so, looking at him from his Hawaii trip, you wouldn't be able to tell. I mean, he's just as pale as he was before he left.
Never.
Nice.
I reflect the sun. Nice. I reflect it.
just sat under a coconut tree and dreamed of Kansas.
That's right. Just wishing I was back on the plains. All right, Fitz. So as this has all happened, as I've been gone, I have not seen, and correct me if I'm wrong, has Jerome Tang been ahead or a candidate or a top choice for any of the big jobs that have come open? I know there haven't been a ton of big jobs, but everyone was worried about Louisville last year. Louisville came open, and they just settled on the Charleston coach. So what does that tell us? Was Tang a candidate? If he was, and he stayed, or maybe it's cooled on him a little bit from the national perspective.
Either way, it's working out great for K-State because they don't want to lose
him. Sure.
I think he feels good about being at Kansas State, despite, you know, the tensions he's had with, let's call it, upper management. But I think he understands how everyone embraces him here, and he feels like he can get it done. And as long as he feels like this is an opportunity to win at the highest level, he will stay. And if he ever feels like he can't do that or another opportunity is better to do that, he might move on. But I'd like to point out that I don't think he's ever leaving the Big 12. He sees the Big 12 as the big leagues, the most competitive league. And Louisville did scare me because there's, you know, a scenario where that school could be in the Big 12 in a few years. But I think we found out at the end of the day, maybe they weren't spending quite as much money as we thought they were going to.
You know, it seems like, and I think it was last week, right before the tournament got going and all of that, there was, correct me if I'm wrong, there was an interview, Fitz, that President Richard Linton did with a local newspaper there in Manhattan that kind of, you know, it seemed like it sort of brought up all the stuff that happened with Naquan Tomlin back earlier in the season. What was the overall reaction to all of that around the community, around the campus, the reaction from you, knowing that, you know, this sort of thing, you know, is being talked about still, and sort of at the same time, at least that Jerome Tang was being rumored to potentially leave Manhattan?
Yeah, there was two reactions, really, kind of a ho-hum, didn't say anything new, and maybe a equally big reaction for, why the heck did he bring this back up? Just say no comment. And that's kind of where I was at. I thought we were done with this. The man put out a press release back when this was all hot and heavy that they'd have no more comment on it. He keeps commenting on it. He can't restrain himself from trying to relitigate things. And it's really disappointing. It's horrible leadership. And I'm told that he absolutely does not want to lose Jerome Tang, but his actions seem to say he wants him gone. So I think that's also another bit of confusing leadership. You seem to be forcing something to happen you don't want and it's not in your best interest. Then don't do that. But that seems to be too complex right now.
So if Tang and Louisville, I don't know if there was another one. I mean, West Virginia is not going to lure him away. Maybe Louisville was the only one. Maybe we're overthinking it. I've wondered about the timing of all this a lot, right? Like there could be some good fortune in K-State not making the tournament and getting on some kind of a run to, like, everything happening, because maybe that does cool it enough for this next year's team, which I think everybody is pretty optimistic about, to get on a run, but things have gone. But it all goes back to, can things be mended? And that's where, I guess, more than anything, if K-State gets back to things the way that we probably all think they will, and I know Cam Carter's out, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, but let's say they make a return, they're really, really good again next year. In that next hiring cycle, is that enough time for water to go under this bridge? Like, I don't know what to think of it, but
yeah,
I think he seems secure.
Yeah, he absolutely loves it here. He loves the fan base. He loves the students. He moved his parents here. I mean, he's kind of settled in, but, you know, there's a scab and someone keeps picking at it, and pretty soon that could leave a scar, and, you know, that you never get over that. That stays with you. I thought the situation was healing up nicely, and then it just kind of got reopened, and I don't understand. I have no understanding why a leader would do something like this, but that's what he does.
Let's talk a little bit about the transfer portal. I know that, you know, Jacob just mentioned Cam Carter, Dorian Finister also announcing that he is transferring out of the program. You know, I remember back to last offseason and, you know, the major impact transfers that came in for the Wildcats didn't come right away. It wasn't like they were committing pretty quickly after the transfer portal opened up. You know, Tyler Perry was, you know, a little bit after the season was completely done. I think Arthur Kaluma, wasn't that in the summer of last year that he committed to Kansas State? So is there more, do you think there's more urgency from the part of Jerome Tang and his staff to try to secure transfers earlier in the portal season? And I wonder, like, I don't know if that has any bearing on, you know, the way that the season played out for the Wildcats. Like, it was later in the offseason that they got these guys, and then the season didn't end up quite as well, or if that's not really a cause and effect. But regardless, is that, do you think there's more urgency to get something going right away?
Well, if you recall the first year, they found Keontae Johnson in, like, August.
Yeah.
And I think that turned out to be a distraction because they thought they could maybe find someone of the same style last summer, and that never came around. And they were later than most people, even with the guys they got. I think they have learned their lesson. They're very active in the portal right now, although we don't know what would be real, you know, actionable offers at this point. I think they're throwing out a lot of offers to, you know, make sure they're in the door and now evaluating. I think they'll do more damage early. By our count, they've got four openings for transfers or new recruits, and we'll see, you know, what their timetable is. Honestly, I think they just waited too long last year. They missed on some guys they really thought they were going to get, and then they just kind of said, okay, there's nothing like them, so let's just wait. And they waited, and there just was never that, you know, veteran true point guard that they needed. They ended up with Quez Glover, who, you know, by all accounts is a pretty solid combo guard. But then he's also got bad knee, and the bad knee got blown out twice this year. So he'll be back next year, hopefully, and healthy, but they still need some help in the portal.
So in the portal, I mean, Tyler Perry was a big time. I don't know where he ranked last year, but we all knew who he was. Yeah. So
If I recall, Max A. Smith and him were 1 and 2 for a while as guards. And K-State kind of had
guards,
both,
yeah.
And then they lost Asmus to Texas. And that was really the blow the team couldn't afford, because that guy would have been, you know, a total difference maker, not just having him, but then being able to move Perry to the two guard.
So Dickinson, I know, was pretty widely considered the top. And then, yeah, I think it was those two guys right there at that position they were trying to fill with Marquise Noel. So they've got a history of doing this multiple times, right? They've landed big fish lots of times. I guess I just sort of assume they're going to. I'll be interested to see if they get on Colby Rogers, who's, you know, leaving Wichita State, who we know KU's already reached out to. I don't believe I've seen that K-State has. But what do you think positionally needs to be targeted here? Because as much as we all think K-State's got a chance to be pretty good next year, it's all because of young players for the most part.
Yeah.
So now what? I mean, it's honestly like you could be – don't you think there's a scenario where they need to go find like 2 to 3 starters out of the transfer portal at least for early in the year?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think, you know, they want at least one big guy, if not two. And they want probably a veteran point guard to – still help Day-Day Ames and David Castillo, who's coming in at the point. You know, they want to get to the point of their program where their veteran guards have been homegrown. But that's a 3-year process at the minimum. So, I mean, they feel like Day-Day Ames and R.J. Jones and David Castillo are going to be big-time players, but we're talking about next season, 2 sophomores and a freshman. So I think they'll continue to supplement with veteran guards. He loves veteran guards. Always remember that about Jerome Tang. Tough, dynamic veteran guards. If he can find one, he's going to take them, or, you know, two, he'll take them. He just wants dudes at this point. They probably need certainly another interior player to go with Jarrell Culver down low, but he's just looking for the best players possible.
The players that are at least have announced so far that they're transferring out of the program, Cam Carter and Dorian Finister, we know what Cam Carter obviously brings to the program just based off of his offensive game and what he does as far as scoring and all the other things. Dorian Finister, I think, is interesting a little bit too because, you know, he was the first high school signee that Jerome Tang ever had at Kansas State. How obviously I know it's you know, clear with Cam Carter what the Wildcats are losing with him transferring out. But for both of these guys, and especially somebody like Dorian Finister that, you know, redshirted last year and, you know, continuing to kind of grow, what are they losing with both of these guys not being with the program anymore?
Let's start with Dorian. Wonderful young man, great athlete. But I just don't think his game is at the point now where they believe he's going to blossom into, you know, a starter this team. And then I think Dorian himself looked at, you know, the rotation late in the year and really saw himself behind, you know, some of these younger guys. Even though he's a redshirt freshman, he saw some of the freshmen sliding in front of him. And I think he just knew to get the kind of minutes he wants, he's going to have to go somewhere else and probably at a lower level, which I think he'll excel at. So, you know, and Cam, look, he was an improved player. But he didn't improve on some key elements of this game. And we've talked about it over and over. And they just couldn't, you know, take his ball handling anymore. It just, it was intolerable. And so I think the both parties said, you know, this did not work out. Because I thought Cam just kind of quit trying to get better. I mean, the right answer is to work on your skill set to improved, you know, finish off your game. But nowadays kids say, well, it's easier to transfer. I'll go someplace that doesn't want me to do this. And okay, go for it, man. That's the way life is right now in the transfer portal era.
Oh, it wasn't good enough for him to be one of the guys. I hope he lands on his feet. He's an interesting player in the portal for sure. Football-wise, he'll get offers. And I think there's a decent chance he has some success. Football-wise, spring football, where are we with things? I always have a hard time with spring football. I never know what to make out of it because you almost have to be there like every single day. And is there anything of note happening there that we need to be paying attention to at this point?
Yeah, with spring football, I like spring football because it just gives you a little something to talk about. But I think people get way too wrapped up in it. It is practice, folks. And often very basic practices, they're trying to install stuff. We did get to see them on Tuesday morning for the second straight week. And I marvel at the accuracy and strength with which Avery Johnson delivers passes. I mean, it's just amazing how he can throw the ball downfield and just lay it in the lap of receivers, you know, running full speed consistently. And that's practice. So we'll see if he can replicate that in games. And Jacob Knuth, his backup, is, you know, Coach Connor Riley mentioned him yesterday. He said he's really progressing. And watching him in that brief practice, that guy's got some zip on the ball. And I think he's going to be more than adequate backup, at least, you know, from what I'm hearing from the coaches.
I mean, that's pretty good comp. To be a good back, I haven't even thought about the backup quarterback situation this year. Which is interesting, right? I mean, it is all Avery, all day, every rep, every possession, every everything, right? Like, there's no split time or anything like that.
Yeah, you're right. But in this offense, he's going to get banged up. He might need to come out some. Evan knows he could get injured, which, of course, nobody wants, but he's also going to be a target, guys. I mean, he's going to be so dynamic and flashy that defenders will want to hang their hats on, you know, laying him out. So they know they have to be prepared to go two, if not three deep at quarterback. They feel really good about the true freshman, but he's still hobbling around in a boot from breaking his leg in the state championship game. Look, if I twisted my ankle in the state championship game, I'd probably go to the hospital because I'm soft, right? Blake Barnett, cracked a bone in the state championship game and played the rest of the game. You know, something I wouldn't do just because I'm soft, but I think it says a lot about him, but he's still recovering from that, but he's a tough son of a gun.
That is a position to follow. I'm with you. That's something we'll lean on you guys as we get toward the season to see, even if there are momentary things, with as much as Avery's going to likely run, that will be a pretty important position for them. All right, Fitz, you can find all of Fitz's work, gopowercat.com. You can find him on social at Life of Fitz. Enjoy the games tonight. Happy opening day of Major League Baseball. It is a great day to be a sports fan, and we appreciate you stopping by.
I've been so wrapped up in other stuff, I didn't know it was MLB day. Oh, boy.
Opening day, baby. Okay,
that changes everything. That changes everything. I'm getting a 12-pack and going to sit around in my boxers all day.
Those days have passed. Those days were part of my history with opening day. I don't get to do that anymore, but that was a great way to celebrate. We'll live vicariously through you then today.
Okay, that's good. Thanks, boys.
All right, there goes Fitz. We'll talk to Fitz next week. The Tang thing, man. The Tang thing's interesting, Tommy. I mean, Louisville was the job everybody was afraid of. It wasn't even a sniff, and maybe it was just money.
I don't think Louisville was the only job.
I thought
Michigan would be a potential when they moved away from Juwan
now,
Howard.
Now Michigan went and got their guy.
They
though.
Went and got Dusty May, without a doubt.
Yeah.
But I thought Dusty that could May be a job for sure.
It could have been.
I also think that the carousel wasn't quite as big this year. There weren't quite as many high-profile jobs that were open. Can you imagine, though? I mean, I think, and here's a thought, conspiracy theory time coming. John Calipari decides, or the University of Kentucky decides to part ways, and he doesn't come back. Maybe that's what Jerome Tang's waiting for. I don't know.
No, I think there were a lot of people that thought Scott Drew might be interested in the Louisville job. I heard that multiple times, and that's obviously would have been one to worry about. But I think the time, regardless of how and why it happened, I do think that time is a good thing for K-State fans, right? To just sort of rebuild that momentum that he'll never leave. Because they need that time after what happened this year. We'll come back. More Sports Daily right after this. All right, welcome back, everybody. Sports Daily. Appreciation to Tim Fitzgerald for hopping on with us there. You can go back and listen on the Odyssey app for your opportunity to take all that in. You can do it anytime. We podcast the show out that way. Don't forget, you've got Royals baseball today. We sort of started the show there today. Any other baseball bets for today that you're looking at, Tommy? I like that Royals with Cole Reagan's money line. I like the Orioles on the -1.5 runs with Corbin Burns on the bump. And I like the Rangers -1.5 with Nate Eovaldi and Justin Steele tonight in that one. There are late games too that I haven't really looked at. Probably would like the Mariners on their -1.5 against the Red Sox. Anything else today? I'm just kind of looking at starting pitching as much as anything else in these openers.
Well, and there are some outstanding starting pitching matchups. Obviously, it's opening day, so you've got a lot of the aces that are going out there. You know, I look at like the Blue Jays and the Rays. You've got Jose Berrios and Zach Eflin against each other on the bump, so that's going to be a fun matchup for sure, and probably, you know, a little bit of a pitcher's duel. And I think that's probably, you know, more than likely what we'll see quite a bit in these games today is, you know, maybe not a ton of offense in a lot of these matchups, just because you've got, you know, aces that are going out there on the hill, you know, to start these opening day games. So I think generally speaking, you know, if you're going to go game by game, there's probably exceptions. But generally speaking, I'm going to lean more towards pitching, at least on this opening day, than I would be anything else.
Yeah, I am too. So you're with me then on Corbin Burns. You're going to give the 1.5 if you're the Orioles over the Angels.
Absolutely.
I think I am.
I love
Royals.
It.
I would take plus money. Reagan's and Pablo Lopez, and then I like the Rangers tonight. Rangers and Mariners. I think those are the four that I like.
I know it's not tonight until tomorrow because of the rainout, but I am so excited. The Braves and Phillies. Spencer Strider, Zach Wheeler. That's going to be an incredible pitching matchup tomorrow for opening day. I can't wait for that one.
Yeah, I'd probably lean Strider. I might look at that one tomorrow. It's all out there for you. We'll come back. We'll tell you what's on a busy night on the network tonight. Next.
T
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.